Welcome to today's edition of Time in the Vineyard with pastor-teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast is being brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Macedonia, Ohio.
Begin in Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And Sarai dealt hardly with her. She fled from her face. We'll look at tonight as advancing the war plan of the ages. We'll look at the selection or the election of a family line or the royal line. We'll also see the other side of these things. We're looking at the selection and the election of the royal line. A line that would come through, the Messiah would come through. A gracious line. A good line. A line of a Savior. The other side of this line, though, will become the Arab line. And what that will cause is a very large and long Arab and Israeli conflict. It will lead to a prophet by the name of Muhammad, who will be a liar. It will lead to what they call as a desire for a caliphate, or a Muslim, or an Islamic state, one that is dominant of the empire. What we are seeing here is the war plan of the ages, is what the devil did in the very beginning, and what has been his plan throughout all the ages and has never changed is that of a counterfeit. So our Lord Jesus Christ has what is known as a millennium, a 1,000-year kingdom where he dominates the world. Now the devil also has a counterfeit, and they're trying to do this by way of a caliphate where the Islamic state will also rule the world. And so you see the parallels here. You see the counterfeits that the devil is trying to put forward. Now, this is alive and well in our time. There's no one that can deny these things that happen. There is total butchery that is happening in the name of Islam. We have mosques that are on my street, and they don't seem to say anything about it. Even if they're somewhat moderate and have nothing to do with murder, they certainly don't step out and talk too much against it. And here it starts. We have the beginning, the seeds of what we know as Al-Qaeda, or that we know as ISIS. We see this happening here when Abraham is supposed to have children and he is not patient enough for the Lord to do it. And rightfully so. I mean, the guy is in his 90s. His wife is in his 90s. You can't really blame him for thinking, maybe we should try plan B. You're in your 90s and let's just try to get this thing together. We have a handmaid. It's not too far-fetched to try to do something through a handmaid at this time. And so he does. In verse 1, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, we're going to come full circle with that. So that first verse is very important. Notice that the handmaid named Hagar is an Egyptian. The Egyptians are in the line of Ham. The line of Ham was cursed by Noah. Cursed because of what happened directly after the flood when he had his three sons there. And Ham did something abominable to his father. And so therefore there was a curse. The curse that came upon Ham was that you will be a servant of servants. Now, she is in that line. She is part of that cursed line. This person named Hagar, who is an Egyptian, who then comes through the line of Ham, is where we follow all these things. Notice in the end, we will come to meet that same exact line. Now, Sarah, in verse 2, Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained, I can't have any children. And so, let's try to move a little bit on with this. She calls Hagar, Hagar gets pregnant, she conceives. Verse 6, Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in your hand, do to her as it pleases you. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she flees for her life and fled from her face. Now, that I'm going to ask a question, and then we need to start asking these questions too, especially if we think of those that are Muslims in the Islamic State. If they'll come back to this, and we use this as a witness tool, which a lot of people do, the question here would be, does that sound fair to you? Hagar didn't have a choice in the matter. She was just a slave, a handmaid. It was Sarah's idea. Abraham went along with the idea. So she does. She conceives, and now she is getting the short end of the stick. Oh, well, it's your idea, it's your handmaid, do whatever pleases you, go ahead and do it. And you'd ask yourself, does that seem right? Does that seem fair? Does that seem the way that God would do things? Is this the way that our God plans things? God is not out of control here. He's a sovereign God, and that is the point of these, is that it is of a sovereign selection, a sovereign election of certain people, and then a certain election and rejection of other people. So here we have the rejection. Just flee. Verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress. Go back and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord, which is probably Jesus Christ himself, said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Now notice, here's the clues. Verse 12, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. We have the creation of the Arab. And the Arab is a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. Not only do we have the Arab-Israeli conflict, we have tribes within the Arabs that cannot get along. You have the Kurds and the Shias, the Persians, the Egyptians, those of the north, those of the west. We have a constant bloodshed from now until now. From this point here in Genesis all the way till now, we have constant bloodshed. I mean, terrible beheadings of men, lighting them on fire. The most heinous crimes against mankind of torture. We just had in Syria, again, a bomb that was a chemical bomb. I mean, it was horrendous torture that is happening. And here we find he will be a wild man. And his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. Now we jump over to 21, chapter 21. And we trace it down. Again, the sovereign selection, the sovereign election of a certain line, and then, of course, then the rejection of another. All these years later, verse 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. See, it's not happenstance. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, and he goes on through that, and we'll skip down to verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar. Now we have two children. And she looks at the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abram, mocking. They're just being children. I don't know what the age is here exactly, but not too far out of adolescence, I don't think. Verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman I will make a nation, because he is thy seed. Now look at the rest of this story. Abram rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it under her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs to die. I mean, you see a little bit of compassion in Abraham. Sarah's just, I don't know what's on with Sarah's mind. But let's just take this bondwoman that we have and this young child, send them away out into the desert to dehydrate to death. Does that seem fair? I mean, dehydration, death is terrible. We just recently went through that with Terry Schiavo. There was all kinds of legalities, all kinds of warring. It was all over Christian news, all over everything. We can't let Terry Schiavo just dehydrate and starve to death. That is so inhumane, to let a person dehydrate and starve to death. Abraham's like, well, I don't think that's a good idea to do. And God says, you know what? Go ahead and do it. Give her a bottle of water, give her a little thing, then send her out into the woods. When she's out walking, the water runs out, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs to die. Verse 16, she went and set her down over against him a good way off, probably so she couldn't hear the child making noise of death, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of my child. And she sat over against him, lifted up her voice, and wept. This is a horrible story. It certainly doesn't sound fair. And it doesn't sound right. But this is what's happening. Verse 17, but God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard thy voice of the lad where he is. Now how gracious is that? Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a great nation. Now God appears to the Arab. Not to the Jew, but to the Arab. To the line of Ishmael. And he opens her eyes. She saw a well of water and went and filled the bottle. And they live. Now you have to stop and just be like, well, maybe God should have just let them all die. Because if he would have, then we wouldn't have the Arab-Israeli conflict. You know, so you have these questions as you go through this. Maybe it would have been better for one person just to die a horrible death than to continue the line. But what God does is he is giving them a chance. And he is making it very hard on them so that they can look to him too. But they don't. Go down a little bit further to Genesis 27 and we see the next generation with Jacob and Rebekah. Genesis 27. We know the story of the lies and the deceit of the blessing, and Jacob and Rebekah, they are continuing to the royal line, and now they're going to have children. And look at what this concoction takes place. It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old and know not the days of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field, and to take me some venison, and to make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now look, Rebekah, she heard what Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went out to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son. Now look at this. Rebecca hatches this plan of deception. She's going to steal a blessing from one son and give it to another son. Look what she says. My son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm smooth. My father, peradventure, will feel me and shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them. Now you would think, does that sound fair to you? I mean, we know the end of the story. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound fair that this would take place. I mean, you're outright lying with a large concoction to take advantage of the old man. And we know that they go through this. So they goes out hunting, 27 of 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me. Even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob, the supplanter, the crook, the liar, the cheat? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. That one you probably should own up to a little bit, Esau. And now behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved for me a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Is there not anything left? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. Now look, and by thy sword shalt thou live. You're going to live for the rest of your life. You and your family and your line are going to live by the sword. And you're going to die by the sword. And you're going to serve thy brother. You're going to be a servant. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, then thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob. What makes this worse is that we know what Romans says, don't we? Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And not by works what they have done, because it was before the children were even born. God just said, I hated Esau, and I love Jacob. It's just God's doing. And then you ask yourself, is that right? Does that sound right to you? Does that sound fair? Does that sound just? Is that fine? Does that sound holy? Is that how all this goes? Okay, you got lied to, you got shafted, I mean, you got completely hornswoggled out of your stuff, but doesn't matter. There's nothing left. I already did it. The trigger's been pulled. Now you're going to live by the sword and die by the sword. And there's a hatred. And so violence will be passed down through all the ages in the Middle East. We'll have constant conflict, constant bloodshed. And the truth of the matter is God is God. He could stop it, but he don't. God says, I am the only one. There's none beside me. Beside me there is none other. I am God and there is no other. He does as he pleases. So what do we do with it? Well, we're a lot better off when we come to the New Testament, aren't we? Let's finally get over to there and we see that Jesus is the cure. In Matthew chapter 15. You couldn't have put a book together, a story like this. When I was a long-haired man, I toured with the Grateful Dead with a boy who was a missionary's child. he was not a good boy either, but he was a missionary's child, and we would have these philosophical conversations in the back of a VW bus, and he would bring up biblical things because he was raised, and train up your child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he is not depart. And I'm still waiting for this boy to come back because he's I look for him once in a while, and he's a disaster. But maybe one day he'll come back. Anyway, he's told me one time, he goes, "You got to read the Bible, man. I'm telling you, you got to read it." And I'm like, "No way, man." And he goes, "Yeah, really." He goes, "Because Stephen King in his wildest day couldn't write a book like that." And look at it, well, we come here full circle. Verse 21 of Matthew 15. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon," Gentile places. Verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts." Where's the people from Canaan from? They're in the lineage of Ham, who is cursed to be a servant of servants. She's in the line with Hagar. "A woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." I mean, absolutely vexed with the devil. And look what he answers. He answered her not a word. You know what she got? When she comes to him and cries out, "Thou son of David, my daughter is tortured grievously, vexed with the devil, my precious daughter." You know what she gets from Jesus Christ the King? Nothing. He answered her not a word. He gave her a shut door, locked shut and tight, with not even a word. Why? In fact, his disciples came and besought him, begged him, saying, "Get rid of this woman. She cries after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am only for the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Hagar and not Esau." It's consistent. Until 25. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." And then you find that same God would come back as if he had a bottle of water to the dying boy. And he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Could you just give me some crumbs?" Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus really is the answer. Even to the things in the news. When you think, is it real? Is it real? I mean, we meet, this little group meets Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we're doing our thing, and George is putting curriculum together, and everybody's working on putting things for the kids, and we're doing this and we're doing that, and then you stop and you think, you know, we sing the same 50 songs over and over again, and you know, we're really not that good. This is going on, and this is going on, and it's like, is there any spirit of the Lord anywhere? Is this real or is this not? And then you realize, this is Fox News. They literally put a man in a cage and burned him alive in order to accomplish these same things. And really all they needed to know is Jesus Christ can save you and forgive you, and that he is really risen from the dead, and that he has taken violent, vile ISIS fighters and converted them into loving the brothers and sisters. And we need to be reminded, don't we? That this world is not our home. And that this book is real. And that there is a real heaven and a real hell. And there are people who literally are dying for it.
You've been listening to Time in the Vineyard with pastor-teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast was brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Macedonia, Ohio. For more information, you can call a church at 330-554-7606 or check us out on the web at libertyvalleychurch.org. That's libertyvalleychurch.org.